From the Northside Lexus Traffic Desk, the accident that was sitting I-10 westbound at Jensen, blocking the left lane, has finally cleared. Traffic is recovering. A couple of stopped vehicles still slowing you down on the Gulf Freeway. This is heading southbound, one at Wayside, the other one up ahead at Telepsen, both on the right shoulder. High of 68 today, 49 degrees right now. From the Trailer Wheel and Frame Weather Desk, Amelia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, no, what's your name, though, the loudmouth? What's your name?
My name is Seth C. Payne.
Mad Radio, good morning. We are into the 9 o'clock hour on a Football Friday, and if you are driving around this weekend, make sure to listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader, because we have all the NFL divisional games on the radio station, brought to you by RideMetro.org. Wade Smith joins us and has an interesting trade proposal. Wade, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Fired
up. I'm going to stick up for Wade before you even say that. Did he even propose this trade, or did you just ask the question?
I just asked the question. I think Mike just wants to debate. I don't know what Mike, that's all about. But
this is why Mike can't do well on the text line and everything. Is like somebody asks a question, and he's like, I can't believe you're saying this.
How can you possibly? But we were actually discussing things, and one of the things that came up was you like debates. You enjoy debating.
I think I'm halfway decent at it.
You're pretty good. There you go. That means answer means you like debating.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with debating at all.
There you go. That's good.
With a sly smile on my face as I'm saying it.
But I interrupted. So what was the actual proposal/question?
Yeah.
Proposal.
So what I propose is that, and you have to look at it from both teams' perspectives, but I look at it from the Texans' perspective. You have Jadeveon Clowney that I think is a guy that's going to deserve, you know, $120 million contract, something close to that number. And you have J.J. Watt already on the roster that just came off of 16 and a half sack year, whatever it was, great year. I don't think you're going to have $200 million guys at the same position in this organization. And so I think that he's a guy that you have to think about trading. Then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers that has a receiver that's disgruntled, Antonio Brown. My proposal is you trade Jadeveon Clowney for Antonio Brown straight up. And you have to look at it. Do you think that, A, the Pittsburgh Steelers would take that deal? Do you think the Houston Texans would be willing to do that deal? Is it who was it a bad deal for? Is it a good deal for? I think it works well on both ends because I think Pittsburgh needs some help defensively. I think Clowney could fit in there well with T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, you know, rushing the passer. He's kind of a, like you were talking about before, Swiss Army knife. They can, you know, do a bunch of different things as far as defensively. And then I think that, you know, Antonio Brown is a guy that's going to be there each and every week. You have his off the field antics and things, but I don't think he would have that same, he wouldn't be the same guy here with Deshaun Watson as quarterback as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger, because Roethlisberger just sells guys up the river. And I don't think I would get that vibe. I think it would be a good trade for both teams.
I wonder though, because I don't know if it was an issue with Ben Roethlisberger as much as it seemed like it was Juju Smith-Schuster. It seemed when Juju Smith-Schuster came out, and it was just the timing of various social media posts and whatnot last year, that he had a really hard time adjusting to Juju Smith-Schuster having the success and the shine.
Is it the shine on the field? Is it the shine off the field and how his social media presence, and he's like the more lovable, likable guy by the fan base?
I don't know.
I don't think you have to worry about if you come here and you have DeAndre Hopkins as the other receiver that is a big-time guy, because both of those guys, DeAndre Hopkins, he has a social media presence, but he's not a type of guy that I'm a social media guy.
Yeah.
And I need to be like a darling as opposed to like Juju Smith-Schuster.
I think it's partly, though, not just the personality difference. It's, are you going to give me enough targets?
Right.
He is a guy that has gotten ticked off when he's gotten like 18 targets in a game. I mean, we saw this earlier this year where he was getting angry because,
you know, like half of them were drops.
Right.
Did they win or lose the game? And for what it's worth, I don't know many really, really good receivers that when they lose a ball game, don't complain about getting the ball enough.
No, but he got 18 targets, though.
We got 18 targets, but I'm saying, did they win or lose the game?
Well, the last one we did a lot was the New Orleans game where he was unbelievable and they lost. Not his fault. And I think he probably had around 18 because he was just dominant against the Saints.
I do wonder from time to time if the amount of looks he gets in a game is on the same playing field in terms of importance to him as how he plays in the game.
So from your perspective, you don't think it's a good trade for the Texans?
I think he's a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver, and if you're taking all the personality stuff aside from it, you are getting the better player in a trade like that.
Right.
And you have a position where you have a lot of questions because of injuries due to Will Fuller and Kiki QT and just what we have seen from them thus far. But at the same time, that is a lot to bring in here, and I don't know how he would handle it. I think that they have the structure in place to make him different, but, I mean, the Steelers, you would think, when he was there, he would fall in line, I guess, with what the Pittsburgh Steelers culture was, and it seems like he's the person that started to break the mold of what the Pittsburgh Steelers have been for such a long period of time. Like, he's the me guy in an organization that has, like, long prided itself on being, like, somewhat blue-collar and all that. And I know that, you know, that you hear all those buzzwords, and they do sound annoying, and I don't want to make too much out of it, but I do think that there's something to Antonio Brown and his priorities. I don't know that that would necessarily mesh. I just don't feel like he is the kind of player that the Texans would want.
Well, that's a whole different topic as far as is he the type of player that the Texans would want necessarily. But as far as do you think that – I don't think that he would be a problem guy here, because I just think the relationship between him and Ben Roethlisberger would be completely different than what it would be with – between him and Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. I just think it would be a different, complete vibe, period.
This is what concerns me. And this, more than anything else, more than like social media posts or anything, actually, I would say two things. Ryan Clark, as far as I can remember, hasn't talked a lot of smack about former teammates. Like,
That's not true.
Is he like, he, as
he's
far
pretty,
as,
like, he talks smack, but it's not like he talks smack for the sake of talking smack, but he'll, if he feels like some player that on his form, like a former teammate, is a bad guy or was a bad teammate or things like that, he'll let it be known.
Well, and which he did with this. So as far as like, okay, whoever else he's done it for, Ryan Clark said that when he was playing, he predicted that when Antonio Brown got paid, he was going to be trouble for the Steelers. He was going to be. So Antonio Brown got paid. And then like the one off-field incident, like the non-social media or anything stuff that I would worry about a lot, coupled with this season and Ryan Clark's comments, would be when he threw an ottoman out of a building
and almost hit a toddler
this last offseason. Like, there's something where I'm nervous about this dude who Ryan Clark had said would be an issue once he got paid. He's gotten paid. He's an issue on the team. He's throwing ottomans off of balconies of skyscrapers. Like, this whole part of it makes me really nervous to take on that contract. As much as
money's gonna get spent regardless. Either you're gonna keep Clowney or you're gonna let him go.
I don't think Clowney's gonna throw an ottoman out of a
skyscraper. I don't either, but I also don't think that Clowney, like, there's things that I hear that make me believe that Clowney getting a $120 million contract here in Houston is not on the table.
What kind of things do you hear?
Well, you just, like, if you listen to Bill O'Brien, the press conference he had the other day talking about, he was like, he basically said Clowney, when he's healthy, is a terror in so many words. Basically, like, he is a dominant player when he's healthy. Okay, to me, that means that he's laying the groundwork. These are going to be things that are going to come up in the negotiation that says, like, hey, you know, you've been an injured player throughout your career here. So now your number is not going to be $120 million. It's going to be, you know, $98 million over a certain amount of time. And he's going to look at the open market and he's going to see that he can get X, Y, or Z. And so they're going to probably franchise him. And then I just think that there's a good possibility that he doesn't come in and there's an issue as far as him signing a tag and going through all that situation. I just think you have two players that you have a player that might eventually be disgruntled, and you have a guy that's already disgruntled. What Antonio Brown would do for the Texans offense would be ridiculous. You know what I mean? And so I just look at it from that perspective. And then the fact that the Texans defense isn't a defense that is a stopper, a dominant defense, you can lose him, utilize Whitney Merciless more, use Duke Ejiofor, and then you come out better of it.
But he needs to actually be present to do that for your offense. Like, I still can't get around the fact that he just skipped out and he just left the team.
I have a thought on that. Let's play the O'Brien comments. This is the Sunday press conference day after the Colts game, B.O.B. on Clowney and the money.
This is the tough side of professional football. Everybody's got to do what's best for their quote-unquote family. Our family is the Houston Texans. He's got to do what's best for him, and we're gonna make those decisions as time moves on. We have not even ventured down that road yet, but, you know, obviously we will. Jadavian is a big part of what we've done here. You know, when he, like I always say, when he feels good health wise and he's ready to rock and roll, he's hard to handle.
I can see, Wade, where you interpret it that way. I mean, listening to Bill's comments on Clowney, not just there, but the last couple of years, I've always gotten the feeling that I think Bill likes Clowney. Now, I think all of us in the room probably hear things where it's like, okay, is there any chance of a long-term deal? It seems at times like it's questionable. But O'Brien has at times, maybe not specifically Sunday, like especially when Clowney was getting attacked early in his career with the first 2 years, like he would really defend him at the podium.
Yeah. I guess the other side of it is, for one, they want guys who can practice. As you get older, you get less and less practice. You know, Clowney, I don't know if Clowney did. When did Clowney start practicing this year?
After week three, I thought he was basically practicing the whole year.
He's been healthy. I guess just from a practical standpoint, because it's an interesting hypothetical discussion, I'm intrigued by just what exactly the Steelers would want for Antonio Brown. And I'm thinking much more just because of the organization the Steelers are. Like, trading for Jadeveon Clowney doesn't feel like a Steelers type of move. Like, the Steelers are all about building through the draft, not spending heavily in free agency. They'd have to give Jadeveon Clowney a big contract, obviously.
So basically you're saying you think that the Steelers would trade Antonio Brown for draft picks only.
Yeah. I think that's what they would prefer.
Right.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense, but I just think I'm looking at it from a Texans perspective. I don't think that they're going to pay Clowney what I think he deserves to get. And if they do, that would be awesome. But yeah. There's no back history. There's no precedent that says that that's what's going to end up happening.
Well, Clowney's a really tough precedent in terms of figuring out what does he deserve.
Yes.
He's an atypical player in a lot of ways, and it's hard to find precedent for like, okay, this guy, because he's not an edge rusher, he's not an Aaron Donald, he's like a bunch of different things that are all really good, but that's where his agents are going to be in a bind, making the case that he deserves to get paid like X, Y, or Z.
The way the cap is built, I don't worry as much about the whole idea of like, I'm paying, you know, two guys at one position a lot of money, because if you look at it, I mean, I went through at 7:18 this morning, you can check it on the podcast, like the cornerbacks available in free agency, they're cheap at quarterback. So the Texans the next 2 years are cheap at quarterback. So whoever they sign big this offseason, whether it's Clowney, franchise tag, whoever else, that is basically the quarterback equivalent salary for the next 2 years. I'm not worried as much about that, especially because offensive line and cornerback, a lot of their reinforcements at those spots or the younger players will be basically making very little money. To me, it's not about positional spending. It's about like who you're actually paying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Watson is so cheap for the next 2 years. Now, if Watson was not cheap, then I think the conversation's different.
You know what? The one part about all of this that's, we got to go. I'll ask Wade to come back. I'll tell you one thing. It's not even directly related to this, but I just had a thought pop into my brain. It's such a pain in the ass being on a team with somebody who feels they're not getting paid and is loud about it. It's like you're in the training room and you hear him come and you're like, ah, great. I just something. And then I'm just thinking of this one specific player. I could hear him yelling as he's entering the locker room. I'm like, all right, some other defensive lineman from some other team just got paid. I see. All right. I got to hear about this for the next half hour.